Ever think about like how heavy the weight of just a split-second decision can be, especially for like a police officer, you know, like first on the scene of an accident.
Oh, yeah.
And today we are diving into Mizoraka v. City of Kenner.
Okay.
It's a Louisiana case, and things went tragically wrong, and the question of liability gets really, really interesting.
I'm excited to talk about this one.
Yeah.
What's really fascinating here is Louisiana kind of throws out the typical public duty doctrine,
Right.
that idea that like the government can't be held liable for every little thing that goes wrong.
Yeah.
They instead focus on whether the person, in this case a police officer, acted reasonably under the circumstances.
Okay, so let's unpack this. So we've got this car accident, a downed power line, and a bystander who tragically gets electrocuted. It's easy to point fingers, but like, where does the law actually draw the line?
Right, and the details of Mizoraka really matter here. So the officer, first on the scene, told the bystanders to leave the wire alone. He even checked it himself to make sure it wasn't live. But then he had to prioritize, right? There were injured people trapped in a canal.
So he's dealing with this chaotic scene, multiple dangers, and has to make judgment calls on the fly.
Exactly. And while he was helping those injured people, the bystander went back to the downed wire and, well, you know the tragic outcome.
Right.
The court really zeroed in on the sequence of events. They weren't looking for the perfect response, but for actions that a reasonable officer would take in that exact situation.
So it's not about saying he should have been a superhero and like magically predicted everything, but rather, did he do what any sensible officer would have done, given the chaos and the pressure?
Yeah, that's the heart of it. And this is where Louisiana gets really unique. It's not about finding the best possible action in hindsight,
Right.
but about judging actions based on what was reasonable in that specific moment.
I see.
The courts even said the scope of an officer's duty is to choose a course of action which is reasonable under the circumstances.
Okay, so this quote is basically saying that in a crazy situation like that, you can't expect an officer to have all the time in the world to ponder like the absolute best solution. It's about making reasonable choices under pressure.
Exactly. And that's what makes this case so important for, you know, anyone practicing law in Louisiana. It sets this precedent that the law doesn't demand perfection from people responding to emergencies. It's all about those nuanced judgments and understanding the context.
I'm curious though, couldn't someone argue that securing the downed wire immediately, even if it meant slightly delaying help for the people in the canal, would have been like the better option? Wouldn't that have prevented the tragedy altogether?
You're hitting on a point that the court actually addressed head on.
Oh, wow.
They anticipated that someone might argue for a different course of action, maybe even a better one.
Right.
But remember, Louisiana focuses on reasonableness, not some unattainable standard of perfection. They explicitly stated that an officer doesn't have to pick the absolute best way to handle a situation, just a reasonable one, given all the factors at play.
So they're saying even if, looking back, there might have been a better choice, that's not the legal standard here.
Right.
They're acknowledging that in the heat of the moment, perfection is almost impossible.
Precisely. It's not about Monday morning quarterbacking, but understanding the constraints and pressures of those split-second decisions. And that's something everyone, not just lawyers, can appreciate. How often do we make choices under pressure and only later think, maybe I could have done that differently?
Yeah. It's like that saying, hindsight is 20/20.
Right.
We all have those moments where we wish we had chosen like a different path.
Yeah.
But the law, at least in Louisiana, recognizes that in those high pressure moments, you can't expect people to be flawless decision-making machines.
This whole discussion has me wondering how unique IS Louisiana in this regard. What if the same case had played out somewhere else? Would the
Right.
outcome have been different? That's a fantastic question, and it really highlights how Louisiana stands apart.
Okay.
So in most other states, that public duty doctrine we talked about would likely have shielded the city and the officer from liability right out of the gate.
Wait, so the family might not have even been able to sue
Yeah.
just because it involved a government employee?
It's very possible
Wow.
that doctrine often acts as a strong shield, making it really difficult to sue a government entity for negligence, even if their actions were questionable.
Wow. So Louisiana's approach is actually more open to holding the government accountable.
Yeah.
It's not a free pass just because you wear a badge.
You could say that by getting rid of the public duty doctrine, Louisiana's made it easier to bring these lawsuits.
Okay.
But it's not a wild west of litigation either.
Yeah.
They still have that reasonableness standard.
Right.
And the focus on whether the actions were part of legitimate government work.
Yeah.
It's all about balance.
Okay. So it's not about automatically siding with the victim or the government.
Mm-hmm.
It's about taking a hard look at the situation, the actions taken, and whether they were justifiable within that context.
Precisely. And that's why Misuraca is so important. It shows how these legal principles actually play out in a real tragic situation.
Right.
And for lawyers, it's a must-study case.
Okay.
It's like the blueprint for how to approach these kinds of lawsuits in Louisiana.
I can see that. It's not just about knowing the law.
Right.
It's about understanding how to apply it to those messy real-life scenarios.
If you're defending a city or a police officer in Louisiana, Misuraca is your go-to case.
Yeah.
You'd want to build your argument around proving the officer acted reasonably, that their choices made sense given what they knew at the time, and that their actions were part of their official duties.
So it's not just reacting to the plaintiff's accusations.
Right.
You're proactively building a strategy based on Louisiana's specific legal landscape.
That's the game for sure. It's like a legal chess match. You have to anticipate the other side's arguments and strategically position your case to fit within Louisiana's unique framework.
Yeah.
And Misuraca provides the winning moves.
I bet this case is cited constantly in courtrooms all over Louisiana.
Oh, yeah.
It really lays the groundwork for how to navigate these tricky questions of liability.
It's absolutely a landmark case. Lawyers constantly refer back to it because it's so clear in how it applies those key concepts of reasonableness and discretionary actions.
We've really gone deep on the legal side of things, but I want to circle back to something we touched on earlier, the human element.
Okay.
It's easy to get caught up in legal arguments.
Right.
But we can't forget that there are real people impacted by these events.
Absolutely. Behind every case file, there's a story, a tragedy, a family grappling with loss.
Right.
In Misuraca, a life was cut short, and that's something we should never forget.
And on the other side of that coin, there's the officer just trying to do their job, facing a chaotic scene and forced to make tough choices with potentially life-altering consequences.
Right. Imagine the weight of that responsibility.
Yeah.
You're trying to help to protect, to make the best decisions you can in a high-pressure situation.
Right.
But sometimes, despite your best efforts, things go tragically wrong.
Yeah.
Misuraca really highlights that reality.
It's a sobering reminder that even when people are acting with good intentions, they can still make mistakes, and those mistakes can have devastating consequences.
And the law, at least in Louisiana, seems to grapple with that very real tension.
Yeah.
It's not about punishing every misstep,
right,
but about trying to understand the context, the pressures, and the limitations of human decision-making, especially in emergencies.
It's like the law acknowledges that we're not robots.
Right.
We're human beings, and we're prone to error, especially when faced with difficult and unpredictable situations.
Exactly. And this case, I think, prompts us to ask some broader questions about accountability and forgiveness.
Mm-hmm.
If we demand perfection in every situation, especially those where lives are at stake, are we setting ourselves up for failure? Are we missing the opportunity to learn from mistakes and strive for a more just and compassionate society?
Those are some profound questions.
Yeah.
It makes you think about how we judge people's actions, not just in legal settings,
right,
but in our own lives.
Right.
How often do we condemn others,
mm-hmm,
without considering the full context of their choices?
You're right. Misuraca provides a powerful lens through which to examine our own judgments and biases.
Yeah.
It encourages us to move beyond simplistic notions of right and wrong and embrace a more nuanced understanding of human fallibility and the complexities of responsibility.
This whole discussion has got me thinking about the reasonableness standard in a whole new light.
Okay.
It's not just a legal term. It's a concept that applies to so many aspects of life.
Isn't it fascinating how a single case can spark such broader reflections?
Yeah.
We started with a specific legal case, and now we're contemplating the very nature of responsibility, accountability, and how we judge each other's actions.
It's a good reminder that the law isn't just some abstract set of rules. It's a reflection of our society, our values, and our ongoing attempts to navigate the complexities of human behavior. It really makes you realize that law is constantly evolving, just like society itself.
Okay.
But before we wrap up this deep dive, I have one more question that's been nagging at me.
Okay.
We've talked a lot about the officer's actions, but what about the bystander?
Hmm.
Did the court completely let him off the hook? I mean, he was warned about the danger.
That's a sharp observation, and it brings up a crucial concept that often gets overlooked on comparative fault.
Oh, right, right.
Remember, it's not always about finding one single person to blame.
Yeah.
Sometimes multiple people's actions contribute to the outcome.
Right. Comparative fault is about looking at everyone involved and figuring out if anyone's negligence even partially played a role in what happened.
Yeah.
So even though the officer wasn't held liable, the court wasn't saying the bystander was totally innocent, right?
Exactly. While they didn't explicitly use the term comparative fault, it's woven throughout their reasoning. Remember how they emphasized that the bystander was warned not to touch the wire?
Right.
And how his decision to do so anyway was considered an intervening act?
Right.
That's legal speak for saying his own choices were a major factor in the tragedy.
Oh. So even though the focus was on the officer's actions, they were still acknowledging that the bystander's decision to ignore the warning played a huge role in what happened.
Yeah.
It wasn't just bad luck. It was a conscious choice with consequences.
Precisely. It's about understanding the complex chain of events, recognizing that responsibility isn't always a simple yes or no question, and Ms. Araka highlights that beautifully.
This case has been such a masterclass in understanding how Louisiana approaches these complex situations. For any lawyers and law students listening, what are the biggest takeaways they should keep in mind?
Well, first and foremost, remember that Louisiana plays by its own rules when it comes to government liability.
Okay.
Ditch that public duty doctrine you learned in other states here. It's all about reasonableness and whether the actions were within the scope of the person's job.
So don't show up in a Louisiana courtroom expecting things to work the same way they do elsewhere.
Right.
Do your homework.
Absolutely. And when you're building your case, context is key.
Okay.
Was the government employee acting reasonably given the situation? Did they have all the information? Were they under pressure? And always, always consider the actions of everyone involved, not just the government employee. Remember, comparative fault, it can make or break your case.
It's not as simple as just pointing a finger and saying they messed up. Mm. You need to dig deeper, understand the nuances, and present a compelling argument that fits within Louisiana's unique legal framework.
That's the art of lawyering, isn't it? It's not just about knowing the rules. It's about applying them strategically, persuasively, and with a deep understanding of the human element at play.
This whole discussion has been so enlightening, not just about the law, but about how we make judgments and grapple with complex situations where there are no easy answers.
That's the beauty of these deep dives, isn't it? Yep. We start with a specific case and end up pondering broader questions about accountability, responsibility, and how we navigate the gray areas of human behavior.
And speaking of gray areas, any final thoughts for our listeners as they continue to ponder the intricacies of Ms. Araka and governmental liability?
Here's a thought experiment. What if Officer Robson had tried to secure the wire first? But in doing so, he'd accidentally caused further harm to those injured people in the canal.
Hmm.
Would we judge him differently? Would the outcome of the case have changed?
Right.
It's a question that highlights the complexities of these situations where even well-intentioned actions can have unforeseen consequences.
That's a brilliant point to end on. It challenges us to think beyond simple right and wrong, to recognize the impossible choices people sometimes face, and to appreciate the delicate balance the law tries to strike between holding people accountable and acknowledging the complexities of human action.
It's a reminder that we're all fallible, that we make mistakes, and that understanding the context is crucial when judging the actions of others.
Well said. Thanks for joining me on this fascinating deep dive into Ms. Araka v. City of Kenner. It's been a journey of legal discovery and thought-provoking insights. Until next time, keep questioning, keep exploring, and keep those legal minds sharp.